track to hit 116 degrees. At least 115 people have suffered heat-related deaths in the state, and officials are noticing that social inequality has exacerbated the fatal effects of the heat wave. Eric Kleinenberg, an expert on climate disasters, commented, quote, "The deepest challenge is the intersection of the ecological crisis and the social justice crisis. If we're not responsible for one another, that's a recipe for mass fatalities." Weather in Washington, D.C. right now is 83 degrees and cloudy. In New York City, it's 86 degrees and partly cloudy. For WPFW in Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Amara Evering.
So it's 86 degrees and cloudy here in New York City, and cloudy it is. Thank you for tuning in. Coming up next, over WBAI, an encore presentation of The Gary Null Show.
I'm Gary Null, and this is a special presentation. We're helping our sister station, WBAI, to raise some funds, and we always are respectful when you dig in and become a buddy to the station, which many of you have, and thank you for that. But just keep in mind, we're a station that should have about, realistically, about 20 to 24 employees. I think we have 7 paid employees there, more or less. And they're overworked. And still, with such a skeleton crew, we're able to produce some outstanding broadcasting in a 24/7 period. And we do that not because of the money we make, because myself and others don't make any money, but because we believe in its mission. So today we're going to share insights of what being on the air means to honoring the mission of the station, but also honoring you and fighting the fight on your behalf. Because it's not possible for everybody to go out and join the ranks against different types of injustices. But for those of us who do, and those of you who have, including a whole lot of you, over 1,000 of you from my audience alone, who 2 weeks ago Saturday went down and were protesting our freedom of choice, and the, how that's been abrogated by the special interest of the vaccine industry. They want to have the say-so on our body, and their choice, not ours, even with informed consent. They don't even want that. They're attacking anyone who questions their agenda. Joining me during this hour is someone who is very familiar, all of you, Christine Blosdale. She originally was out in KPFK in Los Angeles, but she's also helped raise funds for all of 5 Pacifica stations. And we're here to tie in several things, so it's an interesting program. We have not rehearsed our discussion, but I always like the fast, hard ball thrown. Nothing easy, nothing soft. And that's because I want this to also be the show that I do at noon. Hard hitting. Real scholarship that will stand the test of time. And that way, it'll be, I hope, of interest to you. At the same time, you'll find it interesting enough that even the premiums we'll be offering that Christine will talk about a little bit, you'll say, yeah, that premium makes sense. You know, it could help me. It could enhance my well-being. And that's what we're about, enhancing our intellectual, our physical, our environmental, all of the different connections we have in life. We want to enhance those to get us to think and act at a higher level. Glad to have Reggie on board. Nice to be with you again today, Reggie.
Likewise.
And so, Christine, I'm going to turn it over to you. And yes, before we go into any pitching, let's start with the five issues that are really important to you that hopefully are important to other people in this audience and throw them at me.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. And I'm so grateful to you, Gary, not only for the work that you do for WBAI and raising funds so that this amazing radio station, this true beacon of light, can still glimmer or be it. Sometimes it might be on a really soft light, but then other times it's like a spotlight and focusing on issues that are not talked about. They're not talked about, of course, on mainstream media, but they're also not talked about on those quote unquote progressive stations or outlets. So I just want to say thank you on behalf of the audience and thank you on behalf of people who have actually never heard you, but what you have talked about for decades now, and in particular where we're at right now with this COVID nightmare, that information that you get out, it does make a huge impact. And so I just want to thank you on behalf of all the thousands and thousands of people who are now aware or a bit more aware about their health and the danger to their health right now. I would say the most important thing that I see happening and my concern and I want to talk about today is with this race to vaccinate the entire population of the world. It is a global race right now, and what agendas are being met by by political systems, by pharmaceutical systems. But if you can encapsulate for us what's happening right now and some of those dangers that are inherent with that race, with that rush to get everyone vaccinated.
Okay, I'll lay it out as simply and succinctly as possible. First, this may surprise many people in this audience, but I have always been and remain fully pro-vaccine. I've never told someone don't get a vaccine or get a vaccine. What I say is, I support any vaccine that can be proven by gold standards of a double-blind placebo-controlled study using a saline solution as the placebo and following a group of people. Let's say you have 10,000 children that get all their vaccines, 10,000 children that get a placebo, but every 3 months you examine them to see what their immune markers are, their adaptive immunity against their innate immunity, infections, illnesses, and at the end of, let's say, 3 years, you can make a judgment. That would be considered legitimate. Secondly, you then take a look at the toxicological items, and that's where the big blind is in all of science. If you were to walk into a dentist's office and you were to take the amount of mercury that is in a dental filling, and that's why they're called mercury fillings. They're actually called silver fillings, but they're actually over 50% mercury. And if you were to take that same amount of mercury that they're going to put in your mouth as a filling, but you simply inject it in their body, you'd lose your license. You'd be arrested.
Right.
So in one way, we justify putting a toxicant into a body if it's a vaccine, but not if we're eating it. So the FDA and the EPA and other agencies have threshold of toxic load. So they say, well, you can't have more mercury than this. But if you ate fish out of a can, you're going to get lead, you're going to get mercury. So here's how many servings you can have before you get that. And yet when it comes to vaccines, we're giving multiple times those toxicants. So when I did my first paper, and it was simply a challenge, and this was 1972, America's leading person challenging how children were diagnosed and treated for diseases was a pediatrician, board certified, orthodox, Robert Nicholson, Mendelson in Chicago. And we had a discussion, and he said, if you want to know the truth of why I challenge vaccines for these children, why don't you look at what's in the vaccine? So I took every ingredient in the vaccine, and I went to the toxicological data. I interviewed toxicologists, and the data is easy to obtain. And every single ingredient in every single vaccine had toxic reactions. I mean, when you have aluminum, which is in all the vaccines now, as an adjuvant is to make it stronger, more powerful. to stimulate a hyper immune reaction, or mercury, and you're killing neurons. And so there was actually a film made showing this, where you see a tiny parts per billion. Now, I'll show you how bad this is. If you were to take a limbic swimming pool and you drop one drop, a one part per billion, into that limbic swimming pool of mercury, that would make the water toxic.
Wow.
The whole notion of that it's, you're able to clean something up by diluting it, it's not true. It's still toxic. So then I started looking at all the evidence, and my goodness, it was in thousands of toxicological data, but nobody was looking in any of the toxicological data. So it actually came out, and it was a Supreme Court ruling that vaccines are, quote, inherently unsafe. All vaccines. All right? That's official. It is in all the books. So when people say, well, all vaccines are safe and effective, no, they're not. So then let's say every year they're promoting a new flu vaccine. Why a different one every year? Because it changes every year. We lose anywhere between, on the low end, maybe 30,000, the high end as high as 65,000, more or less, people from the flu. And when you go into a school, you'll see some teachers have the flu or cold, some students do. Most, by and large, overcome it. There will be some casualties, some people who are adversely affected, and some will actually die. The most people likely to die are going to be senior citizens with comorbidities in nursing homes, assisted living centers, hospice, and hospitals, and recovery because their immune systems are down. People taking chemotherapy and radiation, people who are on hormones and who are really depleted in their immune system, and then they get an infection. That infection is enough to kill an otherwise healthy person. So what do? We say, get your flu vaccine and be protected, and especially if you're a senior citizen. What does the actual science say? The people least likely to benefit and most susceptible to danger of taking a flu vaccine are senior citizens.
Right.
With COVID, they say, we got to get this to the frontline workers first. That's strange, because the doctors that I have spoken with, the doctors that I've had on my radio show, all orthodox, by the way, all pro-vaccine, they say that the people who are on the front line in their hospitals, especially in the emergency wards, in fact, there was a physician just yesterday saying this, that in her 30-plus years as a board-certified emergency physician, the nurses are 30, 40, 50 years old. They're fine. But the patients who are older, who have 2.6 comorbidities, emphysema, heart disease, obesity, they're the ones who are going to become sickest and frequently die. So then we start seeing that, gee whiz, how do we know a vaccine works? Because none of these vaccines, none of the new ones, have had animal studies, and the superficial studies they did were disastrous. In one case, all the animals died, not when they got the vaccine, but when they came in contact with wild virus, which we do. We're exposed to viruses every day. If you were to say, how many people in this audience have cancer in the body today? I would say every person. Yes. Like probably every person on Earth within a given week has a cancer cell in their body. So what if we tested a person with a machine that was so sensitive that if you even had one cancer cell, it would test you positive? Then you would have a whole pandemic worldwide of cancer. But then
you
actually develop cancer, and how many people die of it? It's a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction. That's what they've done with COVID. They've used a test called the PCR polymerase chain reaction. It was developed by someone I knew. In fact, I filmed him. I have a two-hour film of him on my website, GaryNoll.com, and Dr. Kerry Mullis, and he won the Nobel Prize in 1996 in chemistry for developing the polymerase chain reaction, or PCR test. And he says, this can't tell you which virus you're looking at. This can't tell you whether it's alive or dead. It is not to be used for diagnosis. And the more times you amplify it to see it better, the less virulent it's going to be. So Anthony Fauci says, well, yeah, above 35 replications, you're really not dealing with anything pathogenic. You're dealing with, you know, debris. And he is right, except he's even too He's too much off on 35. It should be around 20. How many replications do you think the average person receiving the PCR test is getting? We're seeing about 40 to 45, meaning they're junk. So therefore, they're getting false positives. Now, these are otherwise healthy people. Look at it like this. We're told you got to wear a mask. Okay, wear a mask if you want. You got to social distance. That's fine. Hygiene. I'm big into hygiene, by the way, and I support that. But then I ask, where's the science? We started off with political public health policies that were draconian before we had the science to justify any of it. We were working off a flawed model. And it's now been acknowledged it was a flawed model. The PCR was flawed. They're not doing confirmatory tests, and they're supposed to, according to their own guidelines. When was the last time you heard someone got a positive test and then was retested using different methods, markers? You have it. So then we're told that all these deaths were from COVID. But we had people die of gunshots, and it was said COVID. Car wrecks, COVID. Even we found that nursing home owners were saying everything was COVID. Hospitals, everything's COVID, because there was a financial gain. A big industry grew up around exploiting COVID. Very mercenary. Now, they were taking people who were dying in nursing homes, even dying in hospice centers, and marking it all as COVID. They were conflating figures. The New York Times says, well, if you're positive, you are a case. No, a case means you have an active virus and you're manifesting symptoms, and therefore you should be quarantined and you should have proper medical care. But the vast, vast, vast majority of people have experienced COVID, and their body's immune system is defeated, and now they're immune. In fact, a person I had on the show yesterday, he's the most cited scientist in the world on cardiology and nephrology. He is a heavy-duty scientist and physician. He's published over 1,000 articles in peer review. PubMed has over 400 different article citations, and yet he said that he had COVID, his wife had COVID, his children had COVID, his grandparents had COVID, therefore they wouldn't get the vaccine because they're immune.
Right.
They want to vaccinate everybody. It's already in the scientific literature that if you have certain autoimmune conditions, that this vaccine could cause a hyperimmune response that could kill you. And yet everybody gets the vaccine. So what about all the children? Children are virtually it is 99.99% a child will not die of this. And yet they want to vaccinate all the children. Bill Gates, who's not a scientist, who didn't graduate from college, who's not a medical doctor, who's done nothing in the field of health, who's an extremely mercenary individual, he says, got to vaccinate everybody on the planet. Well, gee whiz, by medical definitions of who should be excluded from vaccines, you're already eliminating at least half, if not two-thirds, of the world's population from that. But they don't care. They're into money and power. They want to vaccinate everyone, and then they want to do the Great Reset. That's a separate issue. So we've been misinformed about who actually has it, how many people should be vaccinated if they choose to be. And then the worst of it all is we've had orthodox medications off-label, meaning their patents are run out, they can't profit from it, so you could get one whole course of treatment with ivermectin for about $20. Well, they want you to give you a vaccine, and already tapes were just leaked today of a Pfizer person saying how they're going to up the price of this once it becomes permanent. Oh, they're using the word permanent. So they're not looking at a pandemic ending. They're looking at the end of life as we know it. So you're going to have to wear a mask, social distance, and have regular, probably monthly vaccines, experimental vaccines, for the rest of your life. Because they're saying it's forever. That's what happens when you get bad science by people connected in conflict of interest with politicians who are using this to allow private government partnerships to exploit a situation. So it's being exploited. We had ivermectin. That helps 80% of all people who are infected knock that infection, some within hours, generally within 2 to 3 days, and certainly within a week by using zinc, zithromycin, and ivermectin. It's in the peer-reviewed literature, over 50 studies, and yet they condemn the literature because there's nothing you can do in the world. There's nothing you can do to prevent it. All you have to do is wait for the vaccine. Well, that was a lie.
Yes.
We could have prevented that by having a healthier lifestyle, having a national program to help people who are overweight lose weight healthily, by having people have heart conditions prevent and reverse their heart conditions or improve them, to have people with emphysema and other conditions that would become morbid and therefore make them more vulnerable to infection and death. We could help these people. We should have hyperbaric oxygen chambers in hospitals and not put everyone on the lung ventilators, intubating. And this is from the pulmonologists who are seeing unnecessary procedures and death because of that. We also have hydroxychloroquine. One of the leading scientists in the world came out and risked his reputation, and boy, he was hammered. And that's something else. In my personal opinion, I've never seen anything quite like what we're seeing now with medical McCarthyism. This is the new corporatist red baiting. This is shaming people who are orthodox pro-vaccine scientists, pro-orthodox scientists. I'm not talking about a single alternative doctor or scientist. I'm talking about mainstream doctors being attacked because they're saying, but we can prevent this. Lifestyle can do that. Vitamin D, vitamin C, thousands of articles in the peer-reviewed journal on PubMed prove this. I've written articles on this. I wrote articles the very first week we were told what was happening. I started saying, you can build up your immune system naturally. You can protect yourself naturally, as you can from cancer and heart disease and dementia and anything else. We have the science on our side. We don't have the media on our side. We don't have advertisers on our side. We don't have a compliant and unfortunately frequently distracted public on our side. We have massive hubris out there. We have dictatorial control over a person's body. Do you ever see a commercial where someone is, well, yeah, I saw one for orange juice. That's a good commercial. But by and large, the vast majority of commercials are for alcohol. That destroys your immune system and cells and heart and brain, liver and kidney. And for fast foods that cause your telomeres to shorten and diseases to occur, colorectal cancer, ovarian cancer, breast cancer. It's in the scientific literature. They have no science whatsoever on their side. None. Zero. Zip. Showing that the average American diet, the foods you commonly see, are healthy. Eat this thing that has the meat. Oh, and by the way, we have fried chicken with a glazed donut on top and bottom. That's the new glazed donut. And are they going to say, and this will allow you to live a longer life, healthier life, it's good for your body? No. But the impression is satisfy your immediate cravings. So one just doubles down in stupidity after the other when it comes to making a product that is so radically unhealthy. So here's the irony. We have become extremely accessible in our beliefs to making things take a shortcut. I'm hungry. I want a pizza. But I don't just want a pizza. I want a pizza that has so much cheese that they have to put it in the crust. Well, I'll go one better. How about putting it in a big outer rim, and we'll fill that with cheese. We'll open it up to show you all that stringy cheese. Now, of course, the next morning when your eyes are puffy and you got mucus coming out all of your orifices, you might say maybe this wasn't a good idea. And we don't want you not eating this very spicy meat and suddenly you see someone being smacked with a food that's come alive and is now eating them. But don't worry, don't stop eating the food. No, take this antacid. But won't that block all digestion? Yeah. So what I'm eating won't really be digested, kind of dumped in the intestine? Yeah. So I'll be overfed and undernourished? Yeah. Won't that make me more susceptible to intestinal inflammation and possibly diverticulitis, colitis, spastic colon, colorectal cancer, polyps? Oh, yes. But you're telling me not to stop eating the food, just take a drug. Oh, and by the way, if you have some sniffles, right, why worry? Take this drug and the side effect is death. But we'll put on things you can watch. And I'm thinking, surely people can't be buying this, but they are. Well, the consumption of meat and fried food and garbage has gone up. So what I'm saying is this. You have a choice in life of who do you trust and what do you believe. And if you make the mistake of trusting the wrong people, and then you're going to accept that what they say is something you should not be concerned with or even what you should support. Weapons of mass destruction. Remember, The last thing we want to see is that cloud in the sky.
That mushroom cloud.
Yes. So those people have not lost their jobs. They're as powerful as ever. Judith Miller, who made that the false claims about the curveball, was the secret guy. We already on WBAI, I was reporting on what we knew, and our sources saying that he had been discredited within the intelligence community. Abbott, in Scooter Libby's office, chief of staff for the vice president, Dick Cheney, it was select your intelligence to match what we need so we can have regime change. And that's what was anyone fired? Did anyone take responsibility? No. Are the same people around today telling us what to believe? Yes. Were some of these people who were around and more? Yes. Invasion of other countries? Yes. So we're believing those people today?
Yes.
So
yes.
That's why be very careful about what you believe today. Christina, back to you.
Oh, and a perfect example is look at Vietnam. Look at the over a million Vietnamese were killed during that. American soldiers came back. The ones that were able to come back still suffer to this day the trauma of Vietnam. And the treasury, you know, all of the money and the lives and everything, the devastation from Vietnam. And then 40 years later, McNamara said, oh, we got it wrong. It didn't really happen. The, you know, the reason why we did this didn't exist. And they knew it didn't exist. They wanted to get their war on. And whatever it is, if it's a war on drugs, if it's a war on communism, if it's a war on COVID, you follow the money trail and you do see where the incentive is on something like this. My concern always is too, is that look, if I sell you a sandwich, Gary, if I say, come into my shop and I'm going to sell you a sandwich or a nutritional bar or anything, and you take it and you eat it and you get extremely sick or injured, permanently injured, or die, you or your family have the right to sue me. I have liability if I have a product out in the market. Now, here's something where they're saying, we're going to make this a mandate. You know they're floating that balloon. They haven't yet, but they're going to. If you want to travel, if you want to work, if you want to have a bank account, if you want to go to the grocery store, if you want to send your children to school, there's going to be a mandate. Now, if you're mandated to put something into your bloodstream, into your body that will be there for the rest of your life, however long that is, and there's no liability, well, you've just created one of the most possibly evilest systems of not only controlling the health and welfare of the entire population on the planet. To me, that's a dangerous thing. There's no liability.
There has not been liability since Ronald Reagan, and this was all political. I've written about this, the person in Congress who got indemnification, a get-out-of-jail-free pass for all the vaccine makers. Until that time, vaccine makers were very concerned because if their vaccines were bad, they could be sued, and they were.
Yeah.
Look at all the childhood illnesses that we've never had in American history. Certainly not in the last 50 years, but starting with the increased schedules of vaccines, asthma, upper respiratory tract infections, different
autism.
Problems of autism, learning disabilities, delayed learning, inner ear infections, they are manifesting higher than any Western country in the world. And then when you start looking at the actual statistics in other countries, they have a delayed process of not giving all the vaccines. Like we give the MMR vaccine, one of the most dangerous vaccines, in my opinion, but they will give one component of that at a time. So we're giving hepatitis B vaccines to babies.
Oh.
Well, the mother, you could test the blood, see if she doesn't have hepatitis B, then there's no reason to give that vaccine.
No.
But the reason is not about the health of the person. The reason is profit. And we have to understand that. And yet here's where there's a cognitive disconnect. We understand the military-industrial complex loves wars. They must have a shrine in every major plant in America that they go in, they have to first kiss the feet of the god of war, before they go to work that day because it's very, very, very profitable. How profitable? Well, this year, on the books and off the books, there'll be over $1 trillion given to the military-industrial complex, yet they'll cry, it's not enough. It's more than enough. We could reduce that by 80% and still defend ourselves. But when you're gorging yourself and you've lost the appetite control, more is always better. And therefore, you give money to those people who make sure that the politicians give you more, the Pentagon gives you more. Everybody's in that loop. Everybody's interconnected. And you're set for life. You always have a job. So unfortunately, the American public doesn't see any of this. Then you have to have a war. So you better get your intelligence agencies to find you a place to invade. Syria. Yeah, look at Syria. You know, weapons used on his own, chemical weapons used on his own citizens. Oh, well, hold on. Now, Seymour Hersh found that that was a lie. Oh, and others found that Ms. Beasley, one of the great investigative journalists in the world, found out it was a lie. In fact, six journalists went there and found out it was a lie. It was the United States supported terrorists, but ours were the good terrorists, as if there's a good terrorist. Yeah, we were supporting al-Nusra, and that was supporting ISIS. So everything is a lie. When you look closely enough, when it comes to who benefits at the official level. So on the one hand, if someone says, give us more money so we can make sure that there's more checks for executives at these seven major defense contractors, and yeah, we are going to have to invade different companies. We're going to destabilize democracy. We did it with Mosaddegh in Iran in 1953 and reinstated the Shah of Iran, who then was under CIA and State Department control and killed tens of thousands and tortured hundreds of thousands of the citizens, which ultimately led to Iran's Ayatollah Khomeini, changing the whole policy. We never looked at our participation in that. Did we create this? And we've created this in Honduras and also Nicaragua.
Yes.
We've created this in Vietnam, all over the world. And yet we take no responsibility and we never look back. So if you were to know the truth of all the operations, if on a screen when a politician from the president to a cabinet member, Congress, or anyone else said something, you could see the truth side by side with their statements. We'd never vote for any of these people, right or left.
Right, exactly.
If we could see an advertisement where it says, we have the beef, and then I show you what actually happens from the scientific literature in someone's body with all that non-fiber, high heterocyclic amine containing cancer carcinogenic meat, we wouldn't eat the meat. If a person smoked a cigarette, you see the Marlboro Man, but then on the side you saw the Marlboro Man with end-stage emphysema, we wouldn't smoke. If we saw 1 million brain cells, 1 million kidney cells, heart cells destroyed after every drink of hard alcohol, we wouldn't drink. But if we have a celebrity telling us, I drank this vodka, you should too. It's only $1,000 a bottle, but hey, you can afford it. Well, vodka doesn't have any taste. So it's the illusion of what you're going to taste. And if you have a glass of orange juice and a glass of bourbon and a glass of, you know, a glass of brandy and you have a glass of apple juice, it's the apple juice and orange juice that's going to be good for you. And you're going to like the taste. Everything else is an acquired taste. Our belief systems are acquired. To support dictators is acquired. To support Saudi Arabia, even though it's shown that they behead people and they're anti, we're willing to look away at everything that's bad as long as there's something gained. What we never ask in America is, what do we gain by being wrong about everything all the time? The media is wrong all the time on everything they're talking about, because everything first has to start now blatantly, openly, non-hidden. There's no opaqueness in this. They are leading by agenda. Everything has to fit the agenda. So if my health, if my body, if my future to be alive and well and thrive is coming from the New York Times or Washington Post or CNN or any of these other, or even some Pacifica stations, then I am not going to listen to any of their advice because they have never been right. They defend tyranny. They defend bad foods. They defend all this. And those who don't defend this, they're excluded. Hit the door. You're no longer welcome. I'm just telling the truth. We don't care about the truth. We care about ideology. But aren't we supposed to be about the truth? Well, maybe back when Damon Runyon was around or Mr. Stone, but other people, but we're not today. I have Stone I'm talking about, or Mencken, when we had real journalism. But we don't today, except for those who've been excluded. Isn't it interesting? If you want to find the truth about anything today, you have to go out to the Valley of the Elephants, where they go to die.